Jope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Jope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Jope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday is halfway. I mean, you would have thought Damian Rice wrote that. And that kind of level.
that good, huh?
Yesterday was my hump day.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
you got a shorty here. Big birthday plans?
No, none. Good. Except getting my car fixed. And maybe taking my daughter to the doctor.
Sounds swell.
That's what I think I have planned tomorrow. Not complaining.
I think age appropriate for 50 plus. That's where we're at.
I don't know about the daughter. Like the daughter, I started late.
Sure. Yeah, all right. But yeah, I don't know. You're not
my sister is my sisters both are younger than I am. One's got a granddaughter.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know.
Sure. Yeah. I'm not a good
one
person.
One works here.
Right. I'm not the right person to ask about this because we were also late to the we were like the old parents at hockey when the kids were little.
I am still in the let's take her in to see if she has strep phase of my parenting life.
All right. Yep.
Bills and Colts on Sunday. Andrew Catalan. And who else would that be? Tiki Barber?
Man, I saw this just, yeah.
Last time I listened to Tiki Barber, I liked him.
I don't know the whole, you know who I liked on Sunday? I don't know what game he was on, but Jonathan Vilma sounded good wherever he was.
So he's with Kenny Albert.
Okay.
I think. So Fox.
Yeah.
Maybe a late game.
Yeah. I just caught a good chunk of Jonathan Vilma on something. Oh, maybe he was on.
You're the first ever to do it.
He might have been on the Eagles-Jaguars game, maybe. I don't know where he was. Anyway.
Maybe.
Kenny
Albert never makes a mistake. That guy. Yeah. One-time appearance on this show. He's a one-timer.
Mm.
So was Ryan Lindell, whose name came up.
Yep, yesterday with Eric. Ross Tucker.
Or with Eric on Monday.
Yeah, that's right.
It was Eric, yeah. One time so far. As of yet, one time on the show.
Right. Well, there's still time then.
Andrew Catalan, okay. The Bills have not gotten Nansen Romo yet this year.
Hmm.
Going into week 10.
I imagine that changes next Sunday.
I would think.
It would be kind of stunning if they weren't.
Well, we know it's not going to be Ross.
It is a CBS game for sure. I mean,
yes.
It would be kind of stunning if it weren't, I guess.
It's just about the number one game of the year, I think, in the AFC, isn't it?
Yeah, it's yeah. Yes.
Going into the season.
The opener, Baltimore and Kansas City, was pretty tasty, too, of course. But early
that became
in the year.
A night game.
Right.
And I'm not sure. The history of the Bills and the Chiefs over the last four
is
years.
Is better than the Ravens and
is
the Chiefs.
Is better.
Yeah. They've only got the one playoff meeting, right, last year.
Right. It's the game of the year in the conference. And absolutely nothing has happened this year to change that.
No.
It goes into next week as the game of the year in the AFC.
If nothing else, it's even juicier than maybe it's been other years. I mean, I don't remember the lay of the land each of these years here going into it. But, you know, again, it'd be so repetitive. But if the Chiefs can drop a game on Sunday, like you're playing for the top spot in the conference. And I don't know that that's ever been the case when these two teams have met. I feel like the Bills have always been sort of chasing.
Ooh, maybe.
Not that they're not chasing now still, too. I mean, they're two games behind the Chiefs, but of course it can swing pretty fast if a couple of things, you know, go the right way.
So it's the fourth straight season where they meet in the regular season. 2020 was here and early. COVID, no fans. Was it on a Monday afternoon? And the Chiefs won that game. The next year would be a Sunday night in Kansas City. Also pretty early, maybe like a week five-ish. Game the Bills
it was
roll.
Week five, the Bills were 3-1 going in and came out of it 4-1. So I don't know. Maybe they were. I don't know what the Chiefs' record was at that time, but
too early to really.
Yeah,
this game is late enough. I think where like, well, it's not so late, but we are definitely looking at the standings. I think maybe then you're asking, you know, what was, what were the terms? I think maybe then it was more just revenge.
Yep.
And prove that you can beat them.
Yeah. Again, early in 22, but they beat them there to improve to 5-1. So the chasing comment, again, I don't know. The Chiefs might have been undefeated all these times. I have no idea. But, like, still, it's early, so early in the year. Like, it being just, you know.
It's too early to matter.
Like, 50% further into the season, which is where we are here with this one, makes it, you know, a little tastier, I think.
Last year, going to Kansas City in December was kind of to stay alive.
Right. 6-6 was their record going in, coming out of the bye after that loss in Philadelphia. So that's definitely a year where you weren't, you know, playing for, oh, I got to topple them out of the top spot or anything like that. It was not there. It was just simply, I got a tough game. I got to win here and may have to win to the wire, which they did.
I wonder if a team has ever won two straight, just had the run of success the Chiefs have had and lost to the same team in the regular season at home 3 years in a row. Maybe in a division rivalry that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Chiefs and the Raiders or something, or Dallas and Washington. I mean, just when would that have happened? If a team, I mean, the Chiefs did not go to the Super Bowl 3 years ago. The Bengals did. But still, like, in this span of time, for the Bills, it's almost cruel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you hate it when I mention this. Because, so what? What is it worth that the Bills beat them 3 years in a row in Arrowhead Stadium? Not a lot. There's no banner.
It's not worth nothing, though. I mean, wouldn't it feel a lot different playing them each of these regular seasons like they've had to if the regular season meetings were like the playoff meetings? We'd be feeling like you can't beat this team. So even though they haven't been able to do it in January, I don't it tweaks me, but I don't hate it because it's factually correct. And I think, you know, not for everyone. Sure, there's probably plenty of fans that when you say that, go, yeah, thanks for telling me that, Shoop. They can't beat them in January. Wow. Sorry, I'm leaning into it.
But it's positive. They wouldn't use that voice if it was positive.
No, this is the negative side of it, I'm saying. They can't beat them in January. I don't care, Mike, that they can beat them in September or you know, whatever. But I think a lot of fans, I'm one, I feel like the fact that they beat them three times in a row in the regular season all there tells me they could do it in January. They're not prohibited. And I know if they were losing all these games in the regular season too, they also would not be prohibited. But it would just, the wall would seem a lot higher to climb to me.
Well, you know, use it or don't use it, but the last time I think I or we talked to Aaron Schatz about like this series between the Bills and the Chiefs. He's like, I don't know if it was even the Chiefs that was the context, but he's like, I'm not somebody that thinks playoff football is really that different than regular season football. And I'm so like him in that way. The last four times they've played, whenever it was, were one play games. One play, you know, or whatever, one or two plays were the difference. They're all one score. It's 13 seconds, which obviously quintessentially is an example of a game like that. The 24-20 win the following season in Kansas City. I don't know. There was a Von Miller play in that game, I think.
Yeah. For like fourth quarter, he made like back-to-back drives he shut down, basically.
Then you have the Kadarius Toney offside play last year. And then you have the playoff game here, which are all just, these two teams are very even. I wonder, though, whether it's Bills fans or not, if you ask people right now, just like straight up, who wins between these two teams, you know? Like, who's better or just, who's better this year is a good question. Who would you expect to win between these two teams is a fine question, you know? Any of that, just how bad would it look? How many people would not make the Bills the pick in a poll like that? Would it just be like, there's so many people, I hear it almost every day, whether it's friends or it's fantasy football, or I don't know, if I'm randomly stuck in a building that's showing ESPN or something, and it's just like, you know, this is the conversation. It's just all the time you hear, you know, the Chiefs are just going to win. And I just refuse to accept that. The more times they win, the more I feel, the stronger I feel that they'll lose the next one.
Right.
Which, you know, has been wrong this year, pretty much week after week. But I don't know. Like, four straight meetings. The year before that, the Bills win easily there. The game before that is the AFC Championship, in which the Chiefs win pretty easily. So my mom is texting right now. She's like, what about Indianapolis? She's not happy that we're skipping over Indianapolis. But anyway, so you know, these recent this six games, or even just the four games,
I'm Mike's mom, by the way,
are all pretty like coin flip games.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a couple things here. I also don't subscribe to they can't beat this team in January because it hasn't happened yet. I just think that that's the sort of absolute talk that I just don't ever really want to be a part of. Because that's where having beat them 3 years in a row does matter to me. Like, I don't think it's meaningless. Again, I think if they had dropped all of those regular season meetings, it would feel like I'm dealing with New England again. And I know I'm not. I know that I've seen my team do it. And I've even seen them be really close to doing it in the playoffs, too. And I know close doesn't get you anything, but it would feel different if every one of these games looked like, I mean, duh, like the AFC title game at the end of the 20 season, where you're just out of their league, which is how that game really looked. I think the gap is very slim. But with that said, I don't subscribe to they can't do it, or they just forget it. It isn't going to matter. They're just going to lose to them in January. But you asked me to make a pick on the game, like it for a stake that matters, like my life depends on it or something. It's hard to not pick Kansas City. They have been the better team. They've beaten you when it matters. So I can't separate that. Objectively, who do I think has the better chance? I mean, I don't know, the team that wins more often probably has the better chance, but I don't buy they can't do it because, 13 seconds happened or something. Like, I don't believe in that.
Man, the Bills are just so agonizingly close from being the boss in that series. And I think to some that would just sound laughable, but 13 seconds should never have happened. Last year could have gone the other way. I'd never thought of that game as one the Bills should have won, per se.
No, the break they got on the fumble at the half-yard line sort of really takes you out of that.
And the break the Chiefs got by the Bills calling a fake punt and a handoff to DeMar Hamlin when Josh Allen is on the team.
I just remembered that.
Yeah.
Well, it is still next week. We'll have time. But it's just so great.
Yeah.
Bills at Colts this Sunday. Kansas City home to Denver, a bigger favorite than the Bills are on the road. 803-0550 for your calls. We have open lines this hour and off and on throughout the day. We'll have Joe Goodberry with us, talk a little Cincinnati Bengals. Alex Gold yesterday, speaking to the Chiefs, came on and said he thinks the Bengals are done. I don't know. I'm not there. They're still live to me, and that 7 seed is pretty available to a team like that, I think. But we'll see what Joe thinks.
The Steelers holding down a spot is what gives me still hope for Cincinnati. Like, I feel like Cincinnati could track them down.
Well, that's two teams then.
Right.
Because you've got Denver right now, I think. Cincinnati plays Denver. They play the Chargers, too, coming up on Sunday night. That game got flexed in. I think that's, week 11 next week? And I was looking at the Sunday night schedule, so not knowing, maybe Sal does, I'm not sure anybody does. Not knowing whether, which games are protected by CBS and Fox, but week 15, when the Bills are in Detroit, that's amazingly, after all those years of preseason fun between the Bills and Detroit, that's pretty good. The Sunday night game that weekend is Green Bay at Seattle. What do you think?
I don't think that has to. I mean, there's those. When do we got to decide by? Like we got a couple weeks.
Got about
still.
A month. Got about a month.
That doesn't sound like a game that needs to be moved. Like,
Green Bay at Seattle?
Yeah, I think both of those teams could be in contention for playoff spots by then.
Or Seattle still. Could be dead by then. But
they could be dead by then. If they're dead, if they look close to dead after a couple more weeks, then maybe. But I think they're still hanging on. That whole division is just around 500.
Big markets, either.
No.
I feel like that game's vulnerable. That game should watch its back. Mm-hmm. Green Bay at Seattle. Mm-hmm. I don't know Buffalo, Detroit, but you got to love that.
Well, Buffalo, Detroit, certainly the better game. I mean, I don't know, market-wise, it's... Well, Detroit's pretty big.
You think maybe Dallas at Carolina would get the...
Oh, God.
Get the nod?
Poor Carolina.
Poor Carolina.
It's the Giants at Carolina, like the quintessential game to be played from Europe this week. I mean, it's just like the... You're going to get up, if you don't pay attention, really, right? You just sort of... you have a Saturday night, you get up, coffee on, turn the TV on. Sorry, I'm squinting like I'm barely awake here for effect, even though you're the only one who can see me and maybe Zach. There's football. Oh, Giants, Panthers.
It's bad.
I'm going out for breakfast. I'm not sitting here watching this. I'll get back at 1 o'clock.
It's kind of the worst thing about fantasy football obsession. The obsession is that no matter who's playing, Thursday night, Sunday morning, you have to care.
You want to be in on it.
Yeah. You have to be prepared for it. So I don't have to watch the game, but I have to know like who's active, mm-hmm. Jonathan Brooks, all of this. I have to know everything about it. You know, so that maybe is the worst part because most of the rest of it is fun. But
sure,
feeling beholden to watching the Giants and the Panthers is not
theoretically
exactly fun.
I like when there's a game at 9:30 in the morning, but I don't think I'll be real happy about this one.
I've missed it. It was this Sunday or the week before. I think the week before I was home alone the whole morning. Like I kind of would love to have a game on right now. So I missed it. Sal coming up at 5. Keon Coleman, it doesn't sound great. McDermott wouldn't rule him out for this Sunday. But he did also say it might be more than just one game for Coleman. So I wonder what they're trying to figure out. Like, what he's got shouldn't take that long to figure out, but whether he can play through it. And sometimes with those, a coach wants to be really careful with his words. Because it can be pain tolerance. It can be... I thought it was interesting last week. We haven't talked about it at all. And he wasn't specific to which player. But after the game Sunday, it was who? It was Cooper and Benford that both missed the game kind of last minute. And McDermott said how one of them told him he just didn't feel right. And I don't know who that would be. I wouldn't want to guess who that would be. But like you can just be kind of waiting on – that might be different than this or not.
Right.
You're sort of waiting on the player. And if it takes all week, then it does, to get to a point where you have to decide on whether he's willing to try it. I don't know. Like it doesn't sound – so definitive that I would be necessarily worried long-term for Coleman because, I mean, if he's got a break or something, he can just say that. He goes to IR.
Right.
And
the fact that they haven't IR'd him, I think, is encouraging. And I would guess you're sort of starting to go down the right rabbit hole on that. Like that McDermott wouldn't want to put it on the player. Because as soon as you say anything like it's a matter of pain tolerance, I know how I've reacted to that. I don't really know. I can't think of an instance where McDermott has used that phrasing. Maybe he's very careful not to, because when you say it, it sort of puts it on the player. Like he can't suck it up and go. And that's a tough spot to put a player in. And so I think you want to try to avoid that. I think whenever I hear that phrasing from a coach, I sort of bristle. I just think like they don't like this guy is what I think when I hear that. Like you know what I mean? They're trying to make him look like he's the problem by saying that. And maybe there's no intent at all there. Maybe it's just factual. It's pain tolerance, and you know you can't tolerate it. You can't do it. But I still think it puts the player in a bad position. So I'm not surprised to see McDermott avoid that sort of phrasing, but I'll bet if he doesn't need surgery and isn't going on IR, it's just a matter of how soon do you think you can function with this thing, whatever it is, whatever that injury is.
I want to think Cooper will be back.
Me too.
So maybe that's, you know, even better than a push, right? It probably should be.
Sure, yeah.
Which guy would you rather have? Must-win game.
I would rather have Cooper for a must-win game.
Me too, I think.
Yeah.
Cooper, go ahead.
I feel like Coleman is really trending upward, and I hate that this happened. The timing of this, I think, is pretty tough for them and for him, because I think he could really contribute down the stretch here, and hopefully this thing won't prevent him from doing that. Maybe as soon as the next game. Like I know they're not ruling him out, but the way McDermott sounded about it, like we just talked about, I'd be stunned if he played on Sunday.
I think I would be too. So Cooper, I don't know. Maybe this is a little bit of a misread, but I think with him, it's going to be kind of all or nothing in games. And I wonder what the all looks like. The Bills didn't get him to give him 14 targets in a game, right? That's not their offense. Why did they get Amari Cooper? He's an upgrade. It's depth, just sort of by design when you add a player like that. And it might be, which I think is what the whole season is about, that one game, that one play in that one game where you have a guy who can beat his man, who can catch the ball, contested catch, whatever it is, who can make the play, where the next guy you had on the team would be just less likely to do it. I doubt we get big. Like Cooper had a game for Cleveland against Houston last year where he was like, I mean, I should look, but 15 for 200 or something like that with Flacco, end of the season in the fantasy playoffs. And I just doubt there's ever that game in his range of outcomes here.
Diggs didn't even have that game. I mean, Diggs had big games, but I mean, that's franchise record type performance.
And yeah.
So I'm also not expecting that. I think the purpose he serves, that's why Coleman being out potentially even just for 1 week hits a little harder now, because I just feel like the signs are there that Cooper, even if he doesn't have 8 catches in a game, is going to provide you with cover for the other guys, so to speak. It all flows downhill. Matchups are all different. Bracketing guys, trying to take guys away, messing with Allen, different looks and stuff. You just got to approach it differently if you have a guy that commands attention. And they were lacking that, and now they have it. And I think that is the value of Cooper, to me, goes beyond, you know, what ends up in the catch column. Obviously you want some production there too. And certainly, you know, big plays at, you know, key plays at key moments would be really nice. But I think he provides a lot just being there.
It hasn't been really exactly worth it yet, because on one hand, because he has 5 catches in 3 weeks, didn't play in the third game, 1 catch against Seattle.
Right.
But how it goes, if you win, it's all good. And they're 3-0 in those games, so it's fine.
Like, and in 2 of them, their passing game looked as good as it's looked all year, I would say, even though he didn't blow up the stat sheet.
You're leaving out Miami. Or you're leaving, right?
Yeah.
You're counting Tennessee and Seattle.
Yeah.
Okay. 803-0550. What is one change maybe you would make with the Bills? Personnel, strategy, anything like that? It feels like the season really is just starting now. Or maybe next week is when that happens. But halfway through, looking good in the standings, how do you feel? 803-0550 for your calls. Joe Goodberry, Sal Capaccio, as we go through the day. Thanks for listening. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.